Hello, everyone. This is Chris McLaughlin from Stones Crossing Church, and I just want to welcome you to episode 9 of the D Group Leader Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. You know, we are in part 2 of a 4-part discussion here on preparing a study. And in this session, we're going to be looking at application. How do you come up with good application, apply that to your group, and all that stuff. But before we get into that, I want to just tell you a little bit of some exciting news from the Be the Church workshop that happened yesterday. Now, if you haven't heard about these, the Be the Church workshops, they're 4 workshops that's happening on Sunday morning during second service. And the workshop that we had yesterday was really about discipleship. How do we take a next step in our own discipleship and spiritual growth? And so what we did with this, I wanted to try something with it. So I called up a couple D group leaders who were looking to add a few people to their group and invited them to come to the workshop, to sit in on the workshop. And then at the end of the workshop, they got a chance to connect with people at the workshop who are actually looking to get plugged into groups. And this was so cool. We actually have 5 families who are going to connect into D groups because of that workshop yesterday. And I think that's just a huge praise. This is something that I think that we're going to be doing again moving forward. And so if you are looking to add people to your group in the future, we really want to invite you to come to one of these workshops, to the discipleship workshop. And then there you'll get a chance to meet some of those people who are looking to get connected, and then hopefully get people plugged into your groups. So it's really a great opportunity to connect people. So if you have questions about that, reach out to me. I'm happy to answer questions and talk to you about the next one. We're not going to do another one of these until June, but we'll keep you posted on that. Well, let's get into our discussion today. What we're going to be doing today, like I said, we're talking about preparing a study and doing application. Last week, we really talked about how do we understand the passage that we're working with in our study. And then what we want to do is then take the hard work that we did in understanding the passage and arrive at some application for it. And for some people, this is actually the hardest part of the whole thing. I know that is for me. I love studying God's word, and I love just kind of like playing around with the different ideas and stuff like that, and I kind of live up in the clouds a little bit with it. But once we bring it down to ground level and create some application for it, sometimes that could be really difficult and really challenging for our group and even for us as leaders. Well, what I want to do today is I want to give you 3 basic rules for creating application for your group. Sometimes the studies that we have has some really great application, and we can just use the stuff that's in there. But we also have to be a little bit discerning with what we're given there, because sometimes that may not work for our group. So and we're going to talk more about that a little bit next week. But here what I want to do is give you 3 rules for creating great application for your D group. So rule number 1 is that the application must match the passage. We have to use the work that we've done in understanding the passage to arrive at our application. We can't just go through a passage and then think of something that's going on in the group that we really need to address. You know, so we're maybe talking about sexual immorality in a passage, but then we end up coming up with application about gossip. That doesn't work. We have to have the text lead us to the application. And that's part of what the Holy Spirit does through the work that we're doing here with exegeting the text. But when we look at this, I think there's actually 2 different types of application. And this is where I think this could be really helpful. So sometimes we have what we'll call behavioral applications, right? So these are things that we're supposed to do, things that we're supposed to like change our behavior and stuff like that. Really simply, these are some of the easier ones to find in the text. Things like, you know, are there specific commands that are in the text that we need to obey? Are there specific things that we're supposed to be doing? Are there characters in the story maybe that are doing something that is clearly praiseworthy, and so we're supposed to try to emulate that? I think that's sometimes is a very valid way to look at the text. So sometimes there's this type of application, these behavioral applications. But there's a second type of application, and these are belief applications, and this can be a thing. Not all applications lead to some sort of action. Sometimes the application that we come to actually is more about what are we really supposed to believe? What are we supposed to know about God? And so we might ask ourselves some questions like this. Does this passage teach us something about the nature or character of God? Does this passage teach us about what we ought to believe about God or about humanity, about ourselves? Or maybe it's teaching us something about what we're supposed to believe about how God is saving us, how he's rescuing us from our sin. These are important questions, and these are important applications for us, because those things actually shape the way that we view God, ourselves, and the world around us. So I just want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. So last week, I gave you the example of Genesis chapter 1 and some of the exegesis of the passage there, like working through that passage, right? And so this is the creation narrative where God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. But I think from this, there are several applications that we can come up with from the passage, and all of this is really coming from the study that we did last week from it. So you know, I'd say an easy application may come back to like, well, you know, God created the world and he created everything that we see. He created the universe. We may arrive at like, you know, the application is we need to believe that God created everything in 6 days and rest on the seventh. And that's fine. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. But I think there's just much more than just that. It's not just really trying to like oppose science or whatever. That's not the full picture of what we're getting to with chapter one. Let's go back to some of the things that we talked about with the creation narrative. So one of the questions that we asked ourselves was, who wrote the passage? Well, it was Moses. And who did he write it for? It was for the Hebrews that were entering the promised land. And they've been, if we think about the context of the Hebrews, well, I mean, they don't really know who God is as well. At this point, they've been exposed to Egyptian religion. In Egyptian religion, there's many gods. It's a polytheistic religion. They worshipped all kinds of things like the Nile River and the sun and you know, all kinds of stuff. When we look at the language that's used, one of the first things that really stands out to me, and I don't know, maybe this has stood out to you as well, but you look at some of those first things that he says, and he says that God separated the waters from the waters and created the expanse that's the sky or the heavens. And then he separates the waters from the waters again, and then dry land came forth. You know, what's so interesting is that's the same stuff that, that's the same language that Moses uses to describe the Exodus. That this is actually something that the people of God have seen before. They've seen the waters separated from the waters, and they've seen dry land come forth. And so this is not something new to them. Actually, what this is doing is it's showing the Hebrew people that this is the one true God, that this is the God who has created everything, and that all other gods are false. So one of the applications that we can get to this is for the Hebrews is that this is the one true God. There's no others. And that all the things that the Egyptians worshipped are wrong. They're false. They're not real gods. Another application that we get from this then is that this one true God can be trusted, that God protected them through the Red Sea, and he will see them through to the end, right? So then what we do now is now we take this application, this what was meant for the Hebrews, and we can actually turn that around and apply it to us. There's one true God. So a question might be, what other gods do people worship today? Or what other gods do Christians worship today? And we start to work through some of those questions. Another application may come from this trusting idea. What are the attributes of God that we see in the creation story? And how do those attributes of God help us to trust him more? You know, things like that, I think, are so important for our group to wrestle through. So the conclusion here is that for rule number one, the application must match the passage. The second one, the second rule is that the application must match the audience. Knowing your D group, the struggles they face, their spiritual maturity and so forth, all that will help you to guide how you talk about the application of the passage. So for some groups that maybe don't know each other very well, the questions that we talked about already may be plenty. That may be enough. But you know what? I think for some groups, you may know each other a little bit better, and this may be an opportunity to take things a little bit further. So, for example, you may say something like, you know, what other gods do you worship? How can we as a D group support you in letting go of those false gods and keep your focus on the one true God? How can we help you with that? I mean, that's digging in a little deep, isn't it? You know, what about this? You can make the other one more personal. What areas of your life do you need to trust God more? And how do the attributes of God from Genesis 1 show us that you can trust him with those things? You know, the application that we come up with really can fall into four different categories. It can be an application for the individual in your group. You know, it's just like what we're talking about here. Sometimes an application can actually be for the entire group. You can have something where it's like maybe the activities that you're doing together as a group, the relationships you have with each other, all are going to be impacted by the discussion and the application of the passage. Sometimes the application is going to be focused around the church. Like, how should we as Christians live? How should the church respond to certain things? Those are important questions to ask as well. And then sometimes it's going to be more global. It's about the world. How does this part of God's word really correct the values and beliefs and behavior of our society? And so so all of those different ways of approaching it, of approaching application, are perfectly valid. And so there's behavioral and belief application within all four of those categories. Well, here's the last rule for you. The last rule for application is that application should be preceded by the gospel. It should be preceded by the gospel. I mean, giving a list of do's and don'ts without first grounding it in the gospel can give the message that God reserves his saving love only for the obedient. And that's just not the truth. We need to keep this in check. We need to keep this balanced. So making sure that as we're teaching and as we study God's word, that we're really getting to the gospel first and foremost, and we teach the gospel. And then we move into the application so that our obedience, our beliefs, then are a response to the love that God has given us. It's actually it's a response of gratitude, number one, but it's also a response of just a desire to obey. Really, I mean, just a desire to obey God, that should be at the heart of every Christian. Just a couple thoughts on this. It's God's grace that enables us to obey. We can't obey, really, we cannot obey a single command that God has given us from Scripture without his help. Hebrews 11:6 says this outright. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Or Romans 8, verses 6 through 8. Check this out. He says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Get this? The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so it's so clear from Scripture that we can't do anything. We can't do anything to please God apart from him. Isn't that what John says? Apart from him, we can do nothing. And so our application needs to be preceded by the gospel. And really, it comes from a desire. If we're going to obey, it comes from this desire to please him every single day. Well, next time on the D Group Leader podcast, we're going to be talking about how to take these techniques of really examining the text, coming up with application, and how to use them in the context of a study that's already prepared. What do we do with that? We're going to dig into that next time on the D Group Leader podcast.